Now you know something of who we are and why we are here. I think it best for you to absorb what you've just learned before we proceed any farther.
There's more? Meek asked.
Oh, yes. Much, much more.
But you're not going to tell us what it is, Brandon said accusingly.
In time, said Audrey. For now, Aditi and I must return to the city. You'll want to discuss what I've told you among yourselves. Tomorrow is another day.
The humans stood mutely as Audrey and Aditi made their way to the entrance of the bubble tent and went outside into the silvery shadows of the night. Jordan followed them like a man in a dream. Aditi turned back toward him, extended her hand to him. Suddenly, Brandon gripped Jordan's shoulder.
You can't go with them, Jordy. Not now.
He stood rooted to the spot. Audrey and Aditi both faced him, and his brother.
Jordy, you've got to stay here. We've got to talk this over. Digest what they've told us.
It's all right, said Aditi. We understand. We've been waiting for you for centuries, Audrey said. We can wait another night.
Jordan looked from Aditi to Audrey to his brother. Brandon seemed gravely determined to keep him from going with the aliens.
I'll see you tomorrow, he said to Aditi.
Tomorrow, she said.
Then she and Audrey turned and walked slowly through the shadows cast by the pup's wan light, heading for the forest and their city. Jordan turned reluctantly and walked beside his brother back to the bubble tent where the others waited. They were a hushed, subdued group, still standing at the work table, with the geological profile of the planet glowing on the big display screen.
Do you believe what he told us? Meek asked, looking torn, troubled. This entire planet has been built to resemble Earth?
Defia wondered aloud.
By damn, Thornberry exclaimed. I'll bet you that the planet really is hollow.
Brandon scoffed.
How could we have the gravity? Those energy screens, Thornberry snapped. I'm willing to bet me underdrawers that this entire planet is a hollow shell with a gravity-producing energy generator at its center.
Ryshkova agreed with a nod.
Until a few minutes ago, I would say such an idea is nonsense, but now, maybe not.
But that's not the really important point, Jordan said.
Meek said, the fact that he admits they've constructed this planet deliberately to lure us here, you don't find that important?
Not as important as the fact that Audrey told us his people have been created by a race that has found many other intelligent species. His predecessors, as he calls them, apparently have been traveling across interstellar distances for God knows how long.
He said intelligence is very rare in the universe, Yamaguchi said, her voice low, thoughtful.
Longyear added, he also said most intelligent species wipe themselves out.
Poppycock, Meek sniffed. Do you really believe everything he tells us?
I believe that we're well on our way to destroying ourselves back on Earth, Jordan said.
You can't blame us for natural disasters like the global flooding.
With a wan smile, Jordan replied, can't I? Pointing to the display screen's profile of the planet, Thornberry said,
I believe what the facts tell us. This planet is an artificial construction.
A whole planet, Jordan marveled. They built this entire planet.
To lure us here, Meek said.
Jordan shook his head. Why would they go to so much effort? What's the purpose behind all this?
Conquest?
Longyear suggested.
Assimilation, said Elise. Instead of destroying us, they want to assimilate us. Blend our genes with theirs. Make us part of their empire.
They want to steal our women?
Yamaguchi almost laughed, despite herself. Brandon glanced at Jordan.
It's the other way around. One of us has stolen one of their women.
Be serious, Jordan growled.
Okay, Brandon replied. I'll be serious. What Audrey's told us is that his people have been created by a race that has a much higher technology than ours. Much higher.
Interstellar flight, Vereshkova murmured.
Brandon resumed.
And they found other intelligent species among the stars. They're rare, but they do exist.
If they don't wipe themselves out, said Thornberry.
So why have they gone to all this trouble to make contact with us? Yamaguchi asked.
Yes, said Meek. What's behind all this? Why are they here? What do they want of us?
That's what we've got to find out, said Brandon.
We can't plan our response to all this until we find out what Audrey really wants of us.
Jordan shook his head. Bran, I don't think you realize where we are. It doesn't matter what our response is. With the superior technology they have, they can do whatever they want with us. Meek's face went white.
That's right. We're at their mercy.
Security. Jordan slept fitfully, his dreams filled with a kaleidoscope of shifting, blending visions. Miriam laughing with him as they rode a tandem bicycle through a winding trail along a sunny, sandy beach that suddenly turned into the tsunami they narrowly escaped in Singapore, smashing everything before it in a raging wall of water. Aditi looking over her shoulder at him as she walked away, sorrowful, pained. The president of Argentina putting the pistol in his mouth and blowing his brains out rather than agree to a ceasefire with his rivals. Meek, terrified, hiding behind his bed, turning into 4-year-old Brandon the day their father died. And then it was Miriam dying in agony while he stood watching helplessly. Thousands of staring, bone-thin African children in the refugee camp, slowly starving, too weak even to cry. Millions of homeless, helpless families fleeing the implacable floods that were swallowing up their land. Alien civilizations scattered among the stars, destroying themselves in wars, population explosions, diseases created in laboratories. Miriam, Miriam, Miriam. His eyes snapped open. It wasn't dawn yet. The bubble tent was dark except for the tiny numerals glowing on the face of his wristwatch. Jordan got up from his cot and trudged barefoot to the common lavatory. Sleep knits up the raveled sleeve of care, does it? He said to himself. Not always, not every night. It was an hour before Sirius rose above the horizon, but already the sky was turning milky white. Jordan listened to the sounds of his companions' sleep. A gentle snore, a troubled moan, something that might have been a throaty chuckle. Sounds like Thornberry, he thought. At least Mitch is having a happy dream. Brandon's with Elise. He wanted to be with Aditi. Returning to his cubicle to dress, Jordan thought briefly about tiptoeing out of the camp and walking to the city. But he shook his head. They'd wonder where I've gone, why I've left. Meek would think I've been kidnapped. Instead, he went to the dining area, floor lights turning on as he walked. A solitary robot stirred to life at the sight of him. The dining area filled with light. May I serve you? The robot asked. Sliding into the nearest chair, Jordan felt weary, deeply tired, down to his bones. Tea, please, with milk. The robot pivoted wordlessly and trundled into the kitchen. Jordan sat there, thinking, trying to decide what his next step should be. By the time the robot returned with a steaming mug and deposited on the table, he had made up his mind. He drank the tea slowly, weighing the pros and cons of his decision. After all, he told himself, it's not as if I have any responsibilities here. They've relieved me of my duty. I'm just an unemployed bureaucrat now. And he realized that more than anything, he wanted to be with Aditi. Needed her warmth, her understanding. He drained the mug, then went to his cubicle and tapped out a message to Brandon on his phone. Gone to the city to learn more from Audrey. That ought to do it, he thought. Then he went quietly through the bubble tent, stepped out into the pearly gray pre-dawn glow, and headed for the city. He hadn't counted on the guards. A pair of man-tall robots were standing at the edge of the glade by the trail that led to the city. Good morning, Mr. Kell, said one of them as he approached. Its voice somehow reminded Jordan of a policeman's, calm, polite, inflexible. Good morning, he answered. Where are you going, sir?
To the city.
I'm afraid that is prohibited, sir.
Prohibited? Why? By whom?
Dr. Kell's orders.
For your own safety, sir.
I'm perfectly safe, Jordan said, taking a step forward. The robot doing the speaking put a silicone-skinned hand gently on Jordan's chest. It is for your own safety, sir. Dr. Kell's orders. The other robot slid to Jordan's side. Jordan got a flash of a mental impression of the two robots carrying him, struggling and squawking, to his brother's cot. Jordan admitted defeat. Very well. Thank you. Thank you, Mr.